You are listening to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. I'm Tom Baker, your host for this Friday, March the 21st in the year of our Lord 2014, and it is an open mic Friday. What does that mean? It means you can call in with any question you have of a theological nature. I'll try my best to answer it. The number's in the St. Louis area, 821-0850. That's 821-0850. Toll free, 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. And normally on Open Mic Friday, we do get a number of calls, so call in early so we can get you up on the board, and we'll be only too happy to do that. You can talk about a number of things that we may have spoken about this past week. For example, we talked about the Word Faith Movement and Joel Osteen, and there are some other items that we're only too interested to speak about. I do, before I take calls, want to just summarize the Word Faith Movement a little bit more. We did that yesterday with Pastor Wes Reimnitz, but with callers and other things, we just didn't quite finish. So let me kind of summarize it for you. The Word Faith Movement, on page 23 of his book Breakout, Joel Osteen writes, "God works where there is an attitude of faith. When you believe, all things are possible." Now, this is a perfect example of how different is Joel Osteen's concept of faith from that of a Bible. When a person, according to the Bible, says he believes in Jesus Christ, what does he mean? Does he mean that Jesus once existed, or that he was born of a virgin, died on the cross, rose from the dead? Well, as I've said a number of times, if you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead, will you go to heaven? The answer is probably not. Recall that even the devils know that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. So also did the Pharisees who were there when he died on the cross and who paid the soldiers to lie about his resurrection. They thought his resurrection was a trick of the devil, just as had happened with the raising of Lazarus from the dead. What we just described is referred to as historic faith, namely a belief that the events of the Bible are correct and inerrant. Recall that Jesus referred to some of the religious leaders as having Satan as their father, even though they believed the Bible in the sense of a 6-24-hour day of creation. Adam and Eve were real, Abraham was real, Moses and David and Solomon, they were all real persons. But no one is saved through historic faith. As James reveals, even the devils believe that stuff and tremble. So what is saving faith? Is it what Joel Osteen says? Namely, that you have confidence in your dreams because God put them in your heart, and if you have enough faith, they will be fulfilled. They will come to pass? No. The object of saving faith are not the understanding of Joel Osteen, nor the events of Scripture. The object of saving faith are the promises connected to the specific events in regard to the sufferings and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And those promises are referred to as the gospel. The gospel is simply not just good news. It's the good news about your salvation having been totally accomplished by none other than God Himself. It is a trust. That's what we mean by faith. Or a belief in the promises that He died on the cross for my sins and He rose from the dead for my justification. That is the faith that saves. In contrast, Joel Osteen says, faith is believing that the desires of my spirit can come true if I only have enough confidence. Faith is not a gift from the Holy Spirit to trust in Jesus for salvation, according to Joel Osteen, but rather a decision on my part to trust that when God gives me a dream of a better life, He also promises to fulfill that dream, if only I do my part. That's called the Word Faith Movement. It can be best summarized as, Having faith is not trusting the promises of the gospel for salvation, but having faith in our own desires that God has put in our heart so that we can accomplish what appears to be the impossible at first glance. You know, Joel Osteen, I've said, brags about never having had a theological education. Then he goes ahead and proves it by writing Breakout. He also proves it every time you see him on a television screen. You know, there have been others who had such prideful theology, such as Robert Schuller and his glass cathedral, that has now been bought by the Roman Catholics because Schuller was unable to pay the bills. Did he not have enough faith? What is so sad is that the kind of theology Joel Osteen espouses is no comfort to the thousands of those who have no way of working out the bill of their sins, because a theology of prosperity has replaced the theology of the gospel. How sad. This is really important for you to tell your friends. By the way, this document that I have written, a book review of Joel Osteen's Breakout, is available to you. Just simply, I'll give you an example how you can even get it free a little bit later in the program. But at this point, we want to go to our phone lines, 821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. And we're going to start with Randy. Hi, Randy. You're on the air.
Hi. I have a question about the text from 2 days ago. It's Matthew 7:11, and it regards the term Corban.
Yes. And are you asking what Corban was?
I read that it's anything that is sacrificed to God, but what's confusing me is the verse, if a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me, what does that mean, gained from me? Is Corban, that is given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother.
Yes. Now, you said this was in Matthew 7, verse 11.
11.
Okay. And I'm reading it here. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now, maybe I'm in the wrong chapter.
No, that's the verse.
That's the verse.
Yes.
What
does it mean that they no longer allow him to give Pastor Baker, it's Mark 7.
Oh, okay. I was wondering.
Sorry.
Okay. I'm sorry. Mark 7, verse 11. Yes, okay. Yeah, I'm familiar with the concept. I just had looked up in Matthew. Okay, and as it says, Mark 7, verse 11, but you say if a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is Corban, that is given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother. Well, what Jesus is talking about here is there was a tradition that a man had to give to the religious leaders of that day, but that often might get in the way of really taking care of his father or his mother. For example, I'll give you the example that actually happened in my congregation. It was an individual who had promised to give so much per week, let's say it was $60, he lost his job. And what he did, he started telling his wife she couldn't buy the groceries she needed to do to feed the kids properly, etc., because he felt so constrained to have to give that amount of money per week. He ended up actually ready to borrow. And fortunately, the wife came to me and I met with all of them and I said, it would be a sin for you to give that money to the church when you need it for your family. Because when you made the vow, I told him, that was a vow to God saying, if my circumstances remain as they are, then this is my promise to you to give each week. But God changed your circumstances. And I looked at him and I said, you know, if I found out that you had won the lottery, do you think I wouldn't be knocking on your door to increase the amount you give per week? You know, it doesn't matter what your promise was. So our vows to God about what we're going to give him each week are dependent upon being in a situation that God permits us to stay in. And this is kind of what was happening here, that the Jewish community was insisting on these folks giving this money when in reality they were therefore sometimes not taking care of their parents.
I see.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. I'm Tom Baker, and if you'd like to call us, don't hesitate to do so. The number is 821-0850, and it's 1-800-730-2727. That term offering, by the way, is found in the Old Testament scriptures and is in relation to the worship of ancient Israel. Whether you give an animal or any other offering, that was referred to as korban. And the exact meaning can vary. It could be an animal sacrifice or, I believe, a peace offering, a burn offering. And they were offered in a variety of ways. It often was an animal sacrifice, but if you weren't able to afford it, then there were other ways in which that could take place. And it was very important, therefore, that God made sure that the individuals would be doing it in a way that also followed the other parts of the Bible. Okay, our phone numbers are 821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Let's go talk to Al. Hi, Al.
How you doing, Pastor Tom?
Very good. How can I help you?
I heard a pastor make a statement the other day, and I just it was the first time I'd ever heard it. Get your take on it. He was talking about parables and such, and his the reason Jesus spoke in parables was so that the unbelievers would not understand. Now, and my question is, was the greater reason Jesus spoke in parables was for the faithful to understand and the fact that the unbelievers would not? Or was that primarily the purpose of the parables constructed the way Jesus did them so the unbelievers would not understand? You understand what I'm saying?
Okay. There's a verse I'm going to bring to your remembrance. I'm going to start it. I want you to finish it. Are you ready?
This is all, you know, the last time I called this always happens.
I know it always happens. But okay. I'll help you with this one. Okay.
All right, go ahead.
All right. Jesus says, do not throw pearls. How does that end?
To the swine.
Very good. Yeah, okay. See? Boy, 100% today. Now I'll ask you.
I thought it was going to be tougher than that. Okay.
Well, the other one is, why are some saved and others aren't? But we'll skip.
Oh, I got that too. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, you do you? Okay. Well, that's nice. I thought you were Lutheran. Okay. Do not throw pearls to the swine. What Jesus is saying is you don't give the gospel, that's the pearl, to someone who isn't ready for it. And I can give you a number of examples where Jesus does not give the gospel. The one is found in Mark 10, and the other is found in Luke 10, just two of them. The Mark 10 is to the rich man who says, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God. So he's under the impression that even though the kingdom is inherited, there is something he can do. And Jesus says, oh yeah, just obey the commandments. And he says, I've observed all these from my youth. And then Jesus just points out one area of sin and the man goes away sorrowful. Jesus does not say, believe in me, because the man doesn't think he's a sinner to the degree that he needs to believe in Jesus. And the Luke 10 one is the same question, only not from a rich man, but from a lawyer. What must I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus tells him, well, you'd have to love your enemy, and tells this story of what we refer to as the Good Samaritan. And Jesus says, do this and you will live, which is law. Jesus gives no gospel to either one of those. Yet when you look in Acts chapter 2 with the Pentecost sermon, when the people realize they've killed the Messiah, they say, what can we do? And there, because they've realized their sinful condition, Peter points them to baptism, where they will receive the gift of the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's gospel. So when Jesus does a parable, to those who have ears to hear, and we're going to be talking about that on Monday, they understand. But to those who don't have ears to hear, then the gospel is not really that obvious. So Jesus is following his own advice. Don't throw pearls to the swine.
So would you be able to say that the parables were actually, Jesus formed those parables in a way that unbelievers would not understand?
Unbelievers understood him to the point a couple of times the Pharisees say, we're not really quite sure what he's talking about, but it's obvious he's against us, you know. So they understood that the judgment was coming against them, but because they did not fathom the gospel there, they simply just were unclear as to what the gospel was. So those who have faith, for example, the parable of the what's referred to as the lost sheep, I have a different name for it, but this is about sheep who are so lost that the only way they can be found is God goes, gets them, puts it on his shoulders, and carries them home. Whereas the Pharisees were bragging about being able to follow the ceremonial laws in order to be saved. And so they did not understand the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, or the lost son.
It may be just your opinion, but it may be scriptural, too. You'll know that. If you had to explain why Jesus did parables that some would understand and some wouldn't, how would you explain that to a person that has no understanding at all? Because the person would ask, well, why would he have a parable that no one could understand? So would you just explain that a little bit? I'm going to get off here and just listen.
Okay.
And I'll be done. Thanks,
John. All right. Thank you very much. And that was Al. Well, I'm going to give more than my opinion. It's not right for a pastor just to give his opinion unless he makes it really clear that that's what he is doing here. What we have to do is actually give God's opinion. That's what we do here on KFUO. And the passage I want to look at is Matthew chapter 15, where Jesus makes it very clear that what he is talking about is that which people are unable to understand. And it is Jesus telling them that he is speaking in parables to hide the secrets of God from some people. The disciples say, you know, the Pharisees are somewhat offended when you talk about this way. And they give a parable, Jesus does, and then he has to explain it. And when he explains the parable, it is very clear that even the disciples don't quite get the parable. And the reason they don't quite get the parable is because they're still under the delusion that Jesus is a bread king. So the way you, in my opinion, help somebody to come to understand what Jesus means by this is you actually quote him. He says, and it's Matthew, this is the verse you really need to remember, Matthew 13, beginning with verse 13. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear. I'll tell you, if you really want a lengthy explanation of that, this just so happens to be pointing back to Isaiah, where Jesus says the same thing. It's the lesson for this coming Monday, and we're going to be talking about it on Monday. But seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear. And what Jesus is referring to here, therefore, is the fact that their eyes have been closed, and their ears, they are not able to hear. In fact, verse 17 says, "For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." So that would be a great verse to point to, but I'm going to go into a much lengthier explanation on Monday, because it just so happens that's the very verse out of Isaiah that we're going to be taking a look at for the following Sunday. I believe it's the fourth Sunday in Lent. Anybody else can call me. I have a few moments left. 821-0850, toll free 1-800-730-2727. Now, I promised you that you can get a free copy of the book review of Joel Osteen's Breakout. If you simply want to purchase it, you email me at lawandgospel@lawandgospel.com. And give me your name and your phone number and your address, and I'll send a copy to you. It will be $5, and then you send the money back to me. But if you want a PDF of it, then just give me your email address, and I'll send it to you, and then you just send $3 to me. But if you want a free copy of it, plus we're also giving out a free copy of all of the broadcasts from last year, 2013, plus a booklet talking about those broadcasts, all you do is you go to our new website, www.lawandgospel101.com. That's lawandgospel101.com. Sign up for the membership site where you will get a free item every week. Well, it's not really free. It costs you $10 a month, but you get 4 items a month. In a year, you'll get over 50 of them worth around $500, and it's only $10 a month. And those who sign up by Easter, I will also send you at no cost all the broadcasts from 2013. That's lawandgospel101.com. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk with Joan. Joan, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to comment on a previous caller that you had talked about. And I was raised by a very, very wise woman, my mother. And she told me, and we talked about it very young, when I fill out my pledge card,
yes,
I put in a percentage. And that way, if I lose a job or like when I retired, I didn't have to worry about what I had originally pledged. I continued to give my percentage.
That's a very good suggestion. In fact, I've seen congregations that actually put out a card with the percentages on it, and then the numbers, how much you bring in each year and what your percentage, what the amount would be depending on the percentage. That's not a problem at all.
But I just thought it might help
yes,
some of the other viewers if they have problems making pledges and they're not being able to keep them.
I thank you very much. That's an excellent suggestion, and that's from Joan, and we appreciate that. On Monday, as I indicated, We're going to be taking a look at the reading for the fourth Sunday in Lent. It's going to be Isaiah chapter 42. And what does God talk about here? Well, there are things that people observe them, but they don't see. They have ears that are open, but they do not hear. What is he talking about? With Al Lenz's comments, we've already got a suggestion in the direction to go, and we're going to be continuing that. By the way, because Law and Gospel is a listener-supported program, your financial gift is needed for us to continue. And if you're willing to donate, you can phone me toll-free at 1-877-267-1962. Leave your phone number. I'll get back to you. Or, as I indicated, you can use our new email address, lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. I'm Tom Baker. Till Monday, then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122, or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.